Welcome to the Happiness Happens podcast, your place for all things happiness. I'm Simona Costantini, host of the show, and I'm so excited and grateful to be on here with you today. In case we haven't met yet, I'm a corporate dropout turned life coach and podcast producer, and I now run a six-figure podcast production agency out of my home. The Happiness Happens podcast is your weekly dose of motivation and inspiration to have a more fulfilling day every day. I've been having conversations about happiness with thought leaders in the industry for more than 3 years, and each week I bring on incredible guests to understand what happiness means to them and tangible ways to transform our mindset and ultimately our lives. I know you're going to learn something valuable today. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and join me for this amazing conversation. Hello, my friend. Welcome to this week's episode on the Happiness Happens podcast, where we are talking today all things manifesting, mindset training, future boards, and life lessons with my guest, Sarah Centrella. I'm so excited to have her on the show today because we're deep diving into a concept called future boarding. And I really think that this is going to be super powerful for you and start to shift and change the perspective that you have around creating a future board for your life. What does the vision of your life look like? And ultimately, how to create the life that you dream of, the life that you desire, and the mindset it takes to know that you can achieve and have all of those things. Sarah is such an incredible human being. She is the founder and CEO of Viviamo, best-selling author, master life coach, and a motivational speaker. As a master life coach, she has worked with professional athletes, celebrities, and thousands of people around the world, helping them create and manifest their dream life. As a sought-after keynote speaker, she has shared the stage with Ed Milet, Alex Rodriguez, Sherry Salata, Joan London, Lori Harder, Bravo's Diane Valentine, the cast of WAGS on E, and many others. She's been featured by the Wall Street Journal, ABC News, Cosmopolitan, Girls Life Magazine, Women's World, The New York Times, Inc. Magazine, OK, Good Morning America, and many others. You are going to love Sarah. We had such an insightful conversation today about all of these topics. Cannot wait for us to dive into our conversation. And before we do, I just want to remind you that I have the happiness guide that you can download using the link in the show notes below. Grab your copy of that so you can access your full inner fulfillment, the relationships that you desire, the life you desire, and getting into the mindset that it takes to access your dream life. Okay, let's get into today's conversation with Sarah. Hi, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast.
Hi, Simona. I'm super excited for this conversation. We're about to go deep. It's going to be so fun.
We are. I'm so excited. You and I first connected because you came to speak in a mastermind group that I'm in, and you were talking about creating your vision and your dream life and all this stuff. And actually from that call, I went and I created my own version of, you know, a vision board, if you will. And I saved it as a screensaver on my computer because I was like, that is the place that I look at the most. Anyway, so I have a few questions for you about
that. I love that it inspired you to go do it. Yes. I'm all about action, man. You can listen to a million things, but until you actually put it into practice in your own life, nothing's really going to change. So I freaking love that you did that.
Thank you. I love the inspiration. So thank you. Now, my first question for you before we go any deeper today is the question that I ask all my guests at the beginning of the podcast, because I'm so curious what happiness means to you.
Wow. I think my ultimate happiness is when I am in Italy with my kids. There's so many moments that in the moment I have taken a second to be like, okay, lock this in. Because this is what it's all about. And I'll just share a really quick memory with me that is the first thing that comes to mind when I hear the word happiness. And it was the first time I'd ever been to Italy. My twins were 9 at the time. My son was 13. And we were walking past the Colosseum in Rome. And they were like jumping in the puddles, you know, that were out in front of the Colosseum, and just like ribbing each other and laughing and being silly. And I was kind of walking behind them. And I just had this overwhelming like blanket of joy that I thought, this, I need to capture this, because this is always what pure joy, pure happiness, pure everything means to me. And I want to access it later when I'm not feeling that. But yeah, I've had many, many, many like that. But that was probably the first moment where I was like, okay, this is happiness. This is joy.
I love that. And how old are your kids now?
So my son is 20, almost 21.
He wow. plays
football for the University of Oregon. I know, right? And my daughters are 16, and we've gone to 7 countries and been to Italy many times, and it's kind of our thing. It's definitely my happy spot.
Oh, that's amazing. But what I think is so key and why I wanted to ask you that question is that's a memory from years ago. It's not something that just happened a year ago or 2 years ago. That's something that you've been able to hold on to.
Yeah. That's incredible. I think a lot of times when anything kind of good is happening, you have a moment, whether it's fleeting, whether it's, you know, 30 seconds, just you being present and understanding that it's happening is probably the most important thing.
Yeah.
But if you can bottle that, and what I mean by that is just truly feeling it to its maximum, the second you realize it's happening, that you're in one of those just memorable moments, happy moments, joyful moments. And it could be, you know, cooking in the kitchen with your, you know, friends or whatever. It doesn't have to be like walking in front of the Colosseum in Rome, but whatever that moment is, you feel it. And when you do, be as present, maximize it as much as you possibly can, because you can totally draw on that later. You can draw on that when you're not feeling that way and kind of get some of that juice from it as well. And so I think I've been able to do that over the last probably decade on many different things, and I need them. I mean, they're part of understanding what makes us whole as humans and, you know, helps us maximize joy in our daily life too.
Okay. That's so, so key, because I think we go through life and we go through all these different moments in life and it's like, yeah, we're present and we're happy and we're enjoying it and we're having a good time and all that. And I've had many moments in my life that are just like so incredible. And like, they are those like pinch me moments of like, is this really my life? Like, this is great. And then I think to myself, now as we're having this conversation, how many times I have not drawn upon the energy of that memory for anything to help me through any moment. Yeah. So how do you remember that inner joy? Like, how do you remember those moments in a time when you may not feel like you want to access that?
Yeah, I think the key is being hyper-present when it's happening helps you almost like store it in a little box. I mean, our brain is so incredible. Our emotions are so incredible. They can do so much more than we are usually asking of them to do. And so from now on, if everyone kind of pays attention to when those moments are happening, again, it doesn't have to be 5 minutes. It could be 30 seconds. Like, just grasp it, like expand it, breathe into it. Take a moment, kind of close your eyes, like hear everything that's going on around you, smell what's happening. So get your senses involved so that you can capture it really well in the beginning. And then whenever I'm having a tough day or I'm in a funk or things aren't going my way, all I have to do is recall the memory, and the memory jogs the feeling again. So it's almost like stepping back into that little capsule and reliving it. And then another really amazing thing happens is it helps you put whatever you're going through in perspective, right? You're like, hey, I have had this amazing time. Today is not the end of the world, whatever I'm going through, right? And so it just kind of helps balance that out and helps me look at what's happening today with a clearer head and be able to kind of move forward versus maybe getting stuck in whatever I'm emotionally feeling at the time that isn't all that healthy. Mm-hmm. So I think those two kind of combinations, capturing it really well in the beginning and really feeling it intensely as you can, you'll get better at it. It's a muscle like everything else. So you'll get better at really recognizing those moments when they first start happening. You'll pause, you'll soak them in, you'll expand them, you'll stretch them, and then it'll be a lot easier to drop into them as a memory.
I love that. And do you think that there's a certain amount of time? Because, okay, let me backtrack this for a second because I want to explain this properly. So I feel like when we are in a moment in life, a really hard moment, a season or whatever it is that we're in, you know, I'm also someone who I would rather just sit in the positive. Like, I would rather not have to feel this, like, you know, really shitty thing. And like, I just want to kind of like move on. But also I feel like there's a space, an amount of space to honor the feeling that you're having too, right? But then I feel like it's a slippery slope of honoring that negative feeling and then trying to shift it into a positive. So how do you do this without masking, you know, a negative emotion
and then...
do you do that?
I mean, what do they call it? Toxic positivity, right?
Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
And I 100% don't subscribe to toxic positivity at all. But I do completely believe that we can control our thoughts and emotions, and it is a learned skill. Most of us were never taught this until, you know, we're very grown. And by then you have to hunt out how to do it. It's not a common knowledge thing, but when you understand that you can kind of control your thoughts and emotions, then for a lot of the time, you can start to even out some of those dips, right? And mm-hmm. kind of see them coming. You can adjust what you're thinking about and focusing on and kind of get through them, you know, faster. Mm-hmm. However, you're going to have lots of stuff thrown at you where nothing's going to work like that, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's going to feel like crap. And, you know, it could be an adversity, it could be a work thing, it could be a relationship, whatever. We all go through them. And my rule of thumb is the day that it happens, I let myself feel all the feels. Like I have zero restrictions on it. If I'm mad, I'm mad. If I want to be the victim, I get the whole day to be a victim. Like I let whatever I'm feeling completely just process through my body. I'll eat my ice cream. I'll do whatever I got to do, right? You know, stomp my feet and throw a fit, as I say. But allowing me to totally do that, to just like get sucked in, just get messy with it for the day, helps it come out versus being like, nope, 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 and trying to turn it. Because like I said, that will work sometimes, but sometimes mm-hmm. it will absolutely not, and it'll just kind of make things worse. Mm-hmm. So on those big hits, the day I get to feel it, then the next day, this is the biggest thing, I set a time limit on it, right? I get 24 hours, really just one day, because I don't want to wake up the next day in that same energy.
Yeah.
So the next day I force myself. I'm like, all right, you got to have your tantrum. You got to feel your crap. Today you're getting back to what you know. You are mm-hmm. going to use the tools. You are going to change your mindset. You're going to clear this energy out of your body, out of your space, and you're going to do what you know works to get you back where you need to be. Mm-hmm. And so that next day is not a fun day either. You're really fighting it and you're doing all the things. One of the things I do is guided meditation. I'll do like a guided energy cleanse, and there's free ones on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
And those really kind of help me. So I'm not fighting myself quite as hard. It just kind of helps my body release, my subconscious release a little bit. And then I go right back to telling myself the outcomes that I want and just kind of force feeding myself that. And then by day three, I'm usually feeling a lot better. So I think if we know and you know, kind of know what to do in some of these circumstances, we absolutely can navigate them in a way that we don't get stuck there for 2 weeks or a week or 6 months, you know, like yeah. I've done that too. And that sucks. So
it does suck. It's not a good feeling, because then it's like everything else in your life hits this pause because you're dealing with this emotion that just like feels like it's never going to go away.
And that energy is contagious, right? And so it goes into every area of your life. Mm-hmm. So if you're feeling that negative energy in your relationship, boom, 2 weeks later, all of a sudden you're feeling it in your job or your career or whatever, as a parent or all these other things. And right. that is really when I understood how that worked. That's when I was like, yeah, no,
we're done.
I am not trying to have that permeate and wreck everything. I'm good.
yeah, I completely agree with you. And so on that note, you are the queen of helping people create the vision of their life. How did you begin doing this?
Ooh, good question. Honestly, I never thought I would ever be doing this. I just, back in 2009, 2010, I started doing it for myself, and it came out of absolute necessity. I had hit rock bottom, went through this like horrific divorce, had three little baby kids with no money, no job, no anything, and had to recreate my life. And the very first kind of future board I ever made was just me going, okay, well, I don't know what my future is supposed to look like now, because everything I ever thought it was going to be, that's gone, right? And so I kind of just did it from this space of two things. One, doing it made me feel happy, and it made me, you know, kind of feel like, hey, maybe this horrible thing I'm going through won't last forever. And then two, it was like, oh, well, if I have to start over anyway, I mean, why not just shoot for it? Like I have nothing to lose. I had lost everything. Didn't have a penny to my name. So I'm like, I got no pride left. I got nothing. Oh. So it's not going to hurt me to, you know, kind of shoot for the moon. But I didn't ever in a million years think that anything would ever come of it. I never thought it was a thing. I never thought it would work. I just did it because it made me feel better. And about a year and a half later, that first board just popped off. It started manifesting almost exactly kind of as written within about 6 months. And it was just like, wow, my life changed overnight. And then I've been doing it ever since. And so when I first kind of did that, I just started blogging about it. I just started sharing what I was doing and what was working and what wasn't working. And it was pretty messy. It was on a blog and whatever. And that's when people were going, well, wait a second, you said you were going to do this. And now I just see a picture of you doing it. How'd that happen? And I was like, well, I don't know, but here's what I did. So I came about it very reluctantly, I would say. I was never like, oh, let me go teach this. But once I started like understanding how well it worked and how much it had changed my life, mm-hmm, and then the advice I was giving on the blog, it was changing other people's life. I felt a responsibility almost to like kind of hack the system and then give it to as many people as I could. Cause I was like, why doesn't everyone in the world know about this? This is crazy.
Right. And you're like, hold on here. Like you're holding this like key, but you're like, it's actually not that difficult if you think about it. It's right? really not. Yeah. And so you say future board versus vision board. Why?
So for me, words are super important. They are a predictor of your future 100%. I mean, I teach a 9-step method to success, and that is step 3. So what you're saying every single day is not only creating an identity around you, but it's creating a future outcome. And so when I started to realize that my dreams were manifesting almost exactly as I had put them on the board, I was like, this isn't a dream board. This isn't like a fantasy board. And it's not just like a pie in the sky vision. I'm architecting my future. Hmm. This is literally my future. And so one of the things that makes what I do so different than anything anyone's ever done before is every single picture is part of this big process that I went through to discover what I want for myself. So it's very custom designed. I'm literally architecting my future. And every single picture is a representation of what my mind already built. And that's why we don't use magazines. This is not collaging. This is not like high school, you know, let's put some crap on our wall. This is super detailed about what it is that you want in all the 5 categories that matter in your life.
Okay, that is so key. And I feel like there's a piece here that can become a bit of a disconnect for people when you're creating, I'm going to use the word future board. I say vision board because I didn't really realize that I should be calling it something else, but now I kind of want to say future board. So I just created one. Okay, I was telling you this before we hit record. Yeah. I created one because I was so inspired by you after you came and did this talk, okay? And so I put all these things in. When I was creating it, I was like feeling it. I was like, yes. I was like, this is going to happen. Yes, this is going to happen. And then I put it as the desktop of my laptop because that's what I look at the most in a day. And now I feel like I'm desensitized to it. It's right. just there.
Yeah. So here's a couple things. Number one, I and my clients try to get out of this all the time, but I am an absolute stickler in the fact that you have to make a physical board. So we do it. My method is we do it 2 different ways. One, we make our electronic boards on Pinterest. So Pinterest is where I find all the pictures. Lots of people don't know this, but it's the largest photography library on the internet. So if you want gorgeous pictures that will inspire you about literally anything that lives in your brain, go on Pinterest and add the word photography to your search. And boom, you have incredible pictures of people who look like you doing the thing you want to do, but probably in a bigger and better version than your brain came up with. So all of that is part of the process of manifesting. And as you're going through kind of filtering all these pictures, your brain is making that connection. Hey, that's me. That's my dream. I feel that, right? And you get almost an emotional connection to the right picture because you're like, that's the moment I was thinking of. That's the moment I created. And so then you take it that next step, you print all those out, you make a physical board. The physical board is in your space. So mine has always been in my office, which is where I spend most of my time. And yeah, for the most part, I'm never sitting there staring at every single picture. But through the whole process that I went through to get the board out there, my brain has done everything I needed to do to manifest, right? So I've gotten clarity. I've created a true, genuine visualization in my mind where an emotional attachment has been created to a future memory, which all of that is like you're manifesting multipliers, right? They just make it all happen so much faster. And every picture is representative of a moment or an experience. So there isn't, you know, there's no random crap. There's no words on a real future board. It's all it almost looks like a pre-photo album. That's the best way that I would describe it.
Is it kind of like your background right now?
It is, yes. So this is a couple of past feature boards kind of put together in my background. So, you know, you'll see the couple like riding the bike and whatever. These are moments. And that's one of the things I love about Pinterest, right? Is you can put people in whatever settings you're searching. And so two big tips for your listeners is when you're searching the pictures, you should add what kind of people you want in them. If it's a girlfriend's trip, put girlfriends. If it's couples, you know, on and on. And then the second one is add photography to the end of your search. And holy cow, Pinterest becomes a whole different thing for you because it clears all the noise. Takes a little, you know, a minute for the algorithm to catch up, but you're going to just see a whole different feed that is now really custom to what you personally want. And it's a really incredible thing to help us dream bigger, to kind of get out of our head, to let go of the what, when, how, where, why.
Yeah.
And let the dream live, you know.
Love that. And when you're creating these, are you creating them with a timeline in mind, or are you just kind of capping it as future and hopefully one day, you know?
Yeah, good question. So all of the future boards that I teach clients how to make are set 5 years into the future, not as a timeline, but as a way to almost release a timeline, right? Because if we did one for every year, we're going to immediately start to feel the stress of that. And we've just locked down everything, right? And then that turns into the way that people, you know, were taught how to do goals a long time ago that are actually super demotivating, which is I'm always feeling like I'm not hitting the mark, right? Yeah. So 5 years just kind of helps, especially the thinker who might be in your head a little bit about like, when is this going to happen? It just helps you release that a little bit. And for me, my timeline is always, this is what's coming in my future, and I can't wait till it happens. Like, and I really do release any specific timelines around that because I've had things manifest that I thought would probably never happen and had no path to in like a couple weeks or a month.
Wow.
So it just goes all over the board. And I think the point is that I'm creating a life that I love while I'm living versions of that, right? Because a lot of that can start to come into your life right away. So it's kind of like an ever evolving up-leveling, if you will.
Totally, totally. And then your energy starts to align with all of the things that you're trying to create in your future. But I love this piece about releasing the timeline because when I was creating mine the other day, I was like, oh my goodness, like these are all the things I would love to happen this year. And then I'm like,
right,
is that realistic? Is that really going to happen this year? And then you start to get all
your head almost immediately, right? Yeah. You immediately got in your head about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Instantly. Yeah. I was like, I can't really, but I was like, okay, well, let me try. Like, let me just try showing up in you know, in all of these different things. But then it's like, you know, an email comes across your inbox and you're like, oh, like that's a really cool thing. Or, oh, I wasn't expecting that opportunity. Or, oh, what stage? Thank you. You know what I mean? Like all these like little things that you don't anticipate coming into your awareness. Yeah. And I think we cap ourselves at what we are able to bring into our awareness, you know?
You just nailed it right there. I was just going to say the other big problem that happens with putting a timeline on it, especially a short, like, you know, a 1 year, let's say if you did it at the beginning of the year, you're like, oh, this is what I want to have happen in the year. You're just shooting yourself in the foot on every level. I mean, there's so much more that the universe has in store for us that we're automatically getting the smallest version of that dream on that board because we're like, I want to manifest something. I want to, you know, I want some wins in this category, right? So I'm going to dumb down all my dreams because I don't want to put the ones out there that I think might be unrealistic or that I know I can't do in this year. And so then I'm just putting up walls all around. And manifesting is about flow and about energy and about abundance. And so when you can put your biggest and best, most insane version of every single thing you're choosing, then you're doing the opposite of locking down, right? You're expanding. You're saying, hey, I'm open to this version. And if you give me 7 versions that lead up to that, amazing. Then I'm living 7 versions of it. Like it's a win-win, you know?
That's awesome. And okay, so when you're going through and you're creating, you have your future board, and as things start to happen for you, do you take them off the future board and replace them with something else? And like, how often do you recreate this board? If you're planning for 5 years, what if the vision changes?
Ooh, good question. So I do both. At the end of the year, I'll go through and kind of do a little inventory. And almost every single time, so much will have manifested that I didn't even catch. So I'm like, oh my God, I forgot I ever had this, you know, on my board. And so that's always really fun. That's kind of my end of the year tradition. And then I do these really cool side-by-sides. This was the picture on my board and I'll date, you know, when I put it on there. And this was me living the exact same moment. I have tons of those on my Pinterest if anyone wants to look at them. And then my next step, that's kind of, I do that on the last day of the year and the first day of the year, I create a new one. So that every single year I'm creating with the idea of 5 months or 5 years into the future, mm-hmm. which means that everything is always moving forward.
Right.
And I'm not ever hitting these plateaus or these stagnant areas where it's like, oh, a bunch of things I wanted happened. Now what? It's like one of the worst things. It slows momentum. It slows mm-hmm. success. It's just, I see it happen all the time. So by doing it every single year, I'm always checking in with myself as to where I am today. And yeah, we grow, we change things that we thought we really wanted. Maybe we got and we're like, that's a direction I'm not super into anymore. Yeah. Cool. Then I will totally do my change there. I will be like, well, what do I want instead? Or what's the next version of that? And then if there's things I still want, but I haven't manifested, I will totally go find all new moments or experiences to represent that, that are bigger and better than what I had before. So again, I'm blowing up the dream in this way that feels organic, but it's also intentional mm-hmm. because otherwise I will totally paint myself into a box, just like we were when we started, right? So I'm always doing that to kind of keep the expansion going.
That's so good. I love that so much. What's one thing that's on your future board right now that you're so excited for to happen?
Oh, wow. So much is,
I know.
So much has happened.
Okay. One to five things.
Oh, okay. This is maybe a silly one, but I really want to go to the Super Bowl. That hasn't happened yet. So when I get to go to the Super Bowl, that'll be a big, big one. That was, I mean, that dream dates back like 10 years with my son. So that'll be a moment.
Well, you have to tell me all about it when it happens next year. So
yeah,
love that for you.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Sarah, this is my last question for you. And it's a question I've been asking on my podcast ever since I started the show. And it is, what is one way that my listener today can create a little more happiness in their day, every day, starting today?
So the biggest way, honestly, is to take the time to figure out what brings you joy. And I know that might sound silly, but most people have no idea. And that has to be an intentional practice. I have to say, what about either my routine or those off routine things that happen once a month make me feel good, and then be intentional about plugging that into my life. I'll give you an example. Cooking is one of mine now. It wasn't when it started, but every time I would go to Italy, I would pack all that joy, like all those moments, right? And so much of it was around food and around family and around love. And I would just feel next level joy. And I thought, well, why can't I bring that home? You know, like, yeah, I don't have all the stuff and
the beautiful, you know, the vibe isn't the same,
but yeah, but why can't I try and create that vibe? Like, why can't I access that same joy back home? And so I absolutely, like, when I shut down at 5 o'clock, I will have Alexa start Pavarotti and we'll be like rocking out to Pavarotti, and I will like start the pasta on the stove and, you know, have my glass of wine, and the kids are like, oh God, here goes mom. You know,
here she goes again. Like,
it was understanding, oh wait, this brings me joy. Mm-hmm. How can I integrate it? How can I make an intentional thing about if I'm having a bad day and I cook pasta pomodoro from mm-hmm. Roma, like that can transport me for 45 minutes or an hour, and it can let the stress of the day go. And I think people don't understand how critical that is in your life. It's absolutely, we don't get balance without it. Mm-hmm. We don't have joy without it. So if you don't know what brings you joy, and they can be really small things, if dance brings you joy, then make sure you're dancing at least one song a day. Just be crazy, put it on, get your song in, your joy song, whatever. So they don't have to be big things, but they absolutely have to be an intentional practice. You have to bring it in. And the more that you bring it in and get joy from that, it just grows, right? And then you start finding joy in other things and you just replicate the process.
Beautiful. Amazing. Sarah, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. Where can everyone find you so they can connect with you?
Absolutely. So Instagram is probably the best place, just Sarah Centrella, links for everything under the sun are there. And I want to encourage your listeners, in my link in bio, I have the workbook for future boards. It's free. So go download it. It's a whole 75-page workbook that goes with the book, but it will help you customize your own future board. So you'll make it with the method so that it will absolutely manifest. And yeah, you can customize your future life.
That's amazing. That's my next step.
Yeah, I love it. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you. And thank you so much for tuning into today's episode on the Happiness Happens podcast. Be sure to connect with both of us. Let us know what you love from our conversation. I hope you have a beautiful day today. And remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode. I learned so much, and I hope you did too. Be sure to tag me on social media so that I know that you're listening too. If you love what you heard, please leave a rating and review. It would mean the absolute world to me. See you on the next one, and until then, remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it.